It is Tuesday, April 16th, 2024, and you're listening to the Tuesday Catch-Up, presented by Gravy Train Productions. Nate, hit the music.
Give me pictures of Spider-Man!
I don't know how to read.
At that point, yeah. Not without beer, you gotta come back with something.
The sauce is the boss.
Put some fucking headphones in!
You are listening to the Tuesday Catch-Up.
Welcome to Tuesday Catch-Up, everybody. Harley's gone. Whatever. It doesn't matter anymore. He picked till the episode started to walk away. We've done 40 minutes on Patreon. The kid fucking disappears in the last second.
Late. The door.
I'm just kidding with you, dude. Harley, Mr. Harley Three Bones, late for the episode, late for the Patreon, all the things. What's going on, dude?
Dude, just living the dream. I was catching up with some former coworkers. We went out for dinner. Got all hopped up on soda. As one does.
Oh, you know what's cringe about Harley? You know what's more cringe than kiddo? Living the dream.
Living the dreams and drinking soda.
Fair. Yeah, Harley's drinking those wheat sodas. Harley's drinking those barley flavored sodas.
Oh, I was not. Lord.
Hearsay.
On a weeknight? Oh,
Lord.
Oh, no.
Do you still have your other pinky?
Yeah, early wake ups.
No, I'm sure I'll have to cut that later. Now let's continue this podcast. It's very good to be here, boys. I have to say, I came to a conclusion today. I am the reverse Batman. It's something I've been thinking about.
Please tell.
Yeah. So like, you know how Batman, like everybody thinks Bruce Wayne is just like a dude, like a wild boy, like a partier. He's not responsible, all that stuff. But in reality, he's a very organized and responsible hero, you know?
Yep.
I'm the reverse Batman at work. Everyone thinks I'm like responsible and I coach a team and all this stuff. When in reality, I'm wildly unorganized, always out late doing the party thing. Like I have kind of reverse Batman my work. And I don't know how many other people are probably doing that. It feels like there's some of us hiding in plain sight like that.
Yeah. I feel like when I worked at the brewery, it was the opposite. Like people are like, oh, you must drink beer all the time and like stay out late and do like whatever else. I would have maybe a beer after work and then I would go home. Like I would just have, I had a whole beer stocked fridge and I would never drink at home. Cause I'm like, why?
Yeah. You're around it too much.
Yeah. It was just like, you know, whatever. Mm-hmm. And so it was like that, like when we would go out for lunch, I would order like a Diet Coke. Mm-hmm. And, they'd be like, what? You don't want a beer? And I'm like, it's 11 o'clock on Monday. I have other things to do.
I only drink on Tuesdays and Wednesdays.
Yeah, I can't drink an 11% barrel aged beer right now.
That to be well, the first couple months of the brewery, we did. We had a couple business lunches.
Oh yeah,
first couple months. You know, the first couple months, you guys would be like, "Oh, we're scouting locations to put on drafts." So I'd come with you guys, and we would just drink like we'd drink three beers, and I'd go back and make some of the best sales calls of my month because I was fucking shithoused after 3 or 12% beers.
Yeah, well, that was R&D, baby,
and not to say that's right, but like. A little scoot around town on a sunny day after you've had 3 11-percenters, like that quick, like 8 minute drive back to your house is like you got drumming on the steering wheel. You're like, I shouldn't be doing this. ooh, you're like, I'm not saying I do it. I don't do it anymore. But you know, when you're 24 and you've had three high octane beers and you're driving around town just living life, that's a pretty good feeling.
Yeah, they're not going to pull you over for a DUI while it's still bright out.
That's what I'm saying, dude. You can't get unless you're belligerently hammered, you ain't getting tagged in the middle of the day. Why? Did you get tagged in the middle of the day?
Not me.
Papa?
No.
Pops, I'm saying.
This must be a Patreon story then.
Oh, okay. All right. Whatever. I mean, dude, who friends and families and DUIs go together like peanut butter and jelly, you know? You can't exist on your own, but the DUI gives you more flavor. The DUI is jelly. That was a bad analogy because I don't have a DUI, so I was kind of just like I was kind of floundering for a way to get myself out of being incriminated. But no, dude, a good business lunch. You knock down 3-4 beers, and then you start making your sales calls. You're just like, Roger, what's going on, man? How are you today? Oh yeah, hell of a day, isn't it? Steelers playing well. That's right. All right, great. Listen, I'm coming to your area next week. Like, dude, I would make my nut in one afternoon drunk.
There was a guy I met when I was living in Neenah. He like worked in the hospital system, and I got to know him a little bit. But he told the same story every time. He's like, he was like a businessman in the '80s. He's like, I was doing business when it was three martini lunches. He made a point to bring up the three martini lunch like every time I talk to him.
Those are the days.
The logic is there though, dude. Because think of a party where you don't know any guys. That's basically like a sales call, right? It's like you probably have things in common, but no way to get to it. You both don't really want to talk about it to get to it. Three beers into the party, someone will come up and be like, "You guys like squirters?" And you're like, "Oh, that's funny." And you guys like all start talking about things. You know what I mean? Like that's a couple beers. You can really dive down. Like I remember. Like we were at a party recently where I didn't want to be around anybody. And after three beers, someone's like, "So what kind of porn do you guys watch?" I was like, "That's my guy right there." I was like, "Let's come here. Let's go chat."
That's one of my rules of being a friend or like a true friend is that I don't think you're really a friend until you've blacked out together.
Yeah, no, that's a solid rule. Yeah. But as like, I think also from like, if you're going to, I think three beers to break the ice is nice.
I like that.
It's true.
If I start a sales firm, everybody, like if you're behind on quota, until you get back above quota, you have to drink three beers at lunch before your calls. That's my rule. I would be the coolest sales manager in the world. Can you imagine that? You're having a good sales month. You're not forced to drink, but you're encouraged. The fridge is always full. But if you're like a couple days behind at lunch every day, we hand you three of your favorite beers and we go, "You drink these before you go back to your desk and make your next phone call." I would get like kind of sauced on those days, and then I'd play a "Sympathy for the Devil" by the Rolling Stones and be like, "I'm the best salesman that ever lived." I was like, I will sell $1 million today.
Install a fake steering wheel on your desk so you can tap it.
I have a question
for Matt.
Yep.
So as you enter your 30s and you get closer to the time in your life where blacking out is not as common, are you going to move that benchmark for true friendship, or are you kind of just like locked in with what you got?
No, I 100% was going to drop that sucker down as I was like saying it. I was like, "Wow, that is unrealistic."
You got to stay up past 11 with me once.
When I was 19.
Yeah. Oh my God.
There's a lot of stories, but yeah. No, definitely that benchmark will be lowered. I'll have to test the theory out though.
Yeah, we'll see.
Probably be like six beers.
I don't know. Anytime I black out now, I cry. So I don't really need to be doing that anymore. I don't know what happens. I cry every time I black out. And I don't know. It's either a sad, it's most of the times it's a happy, annoying one, which is almost worse than sad crier. Because when your friend would be the sad blackout cry, you're like, "Just leave him in the corner." Like we had a friend who would always blackout cry. We'd wake up and he'd be playing like sad Lumineers music. I remember one night I woke up at 3:30 in the morning. He had turned all the lights on in Zach's house and was sitting against the wall crying, listening to like Ophelia.
I have two guesses.
Go ahead, dude. He's not listening. It was Huggy. There you go.
That's funny.
Huggy was a big sad crier. And anytime, dude, you'd have a great night out. I would go to sleep and I'd wake up to loud noise. I'm like, "Man, is it already the morning?" And he would just be laying there going, "I don't know, chummy," and just crying. So that's one. I get like, "I just love you guys so much. Like, I will always have your back." I get so gay and annoying when I'm drunk. I just can't stop. I just like, dude, I mean, that's why I had to be careful at New Year's. I started to get a little sauce on it. I remember I grabbed her on the shoulder like, "I fucking love you, dude." And I'm like, "Oh boy, here we go."
Right at that peak though, too. So I was with it. I was like, "I love you too, brother."
Yeah. I get nostalgic about shit that hasn't happened either. I'm like, "Man, we've been through so much, even if we haven't like encountered any adversity together." Oh, it's amazing.
I think that's the other benchmark, is like shared trauma. Not that trauma bonding is good, but like you go through something fucked up with someone, you're like, "All right,
definitely
we're bros now.
Yeah, yeah, because you both have shared like such a unique feeling of fear and anxiety.
And you know,
have I told you guys the story of tubing on the river in Montana with the storm? I feel like I have, maybe a long time ago.
Maybe give it to us. Why not? We love stories.
It was my first week in Montana, and I had just gotten to town for grad school. I still had like a month left, and I was staying on Joey and Sven's couch, like just looking for a place. And we went tubing on the Clark Fork one day, and all the weather reports looked like mostly fine. There was supposed to be some like scattered showers at like 7. So we got on the river at like 2, had a couple beers, smoked a joint, did whatever, just hanging out on the river. The storm came early. It was like 4 o'clock and the winds were picking up. Like we were not getting anywhere in the river because the winds were coming straight at us. We saw someone else's tube, like as it was increasing, somebody else's tube came flying past us. And so at a certain point, we're like, we got to get the fuck off the water. We ended up scaling this, like, it was probably like a, I don't know how steep of a grade it was, but like if you didn't have 3 points contact, you were sliding back down. So we hauled up a bunch of empties in our tubes and like shimmied up this cliff and hit under a tree. And it was like the worst thunderstorm Missoula had had in like 2 decades. So we got back to their house. We walked along the shore after the storm died down, after sitting under this tree, like huddled together in our swimsuits. Like,
you guys were like the without a paddle guys.
Yeah. We were literally without a paddle. Just in your house. And the power was out for 4 days on all of Eastern Missoula. Oh. It was fucked up.
Did anybody start going, if you really want to make me cry? No.
Missed opportunity.
Yeah, that's all right.
You do. That's what would bond you guys even further is you look in the face of danger and you sing or you like get a chant going. You got to kind of poke fun at it and be like, it's kind of fun. Or like, I like that. Like it's obviously chaos, like sideways rain, lightning coming down and someone just goes, well, like someone just like breaks the sides and be like, kind of a fucking dumb idea, isn't it, boys? Because you can't have a panicker. That's a good way though to forever not be a friend. Everybody else is handling it, like, you know, kind of doing what they do, and then one guy's just harshing the vibe of like, I call it the panic bubble, right? We're all panicking, but no one's saying anything out loud. The first guy to be like, oh my God, everybody starts, then instantly like the adrenaline pumps. I don't want him in my fucking foxhole, dude. Get him in his tube and get him down the river. We don't need that kind of energy around there. Mm-hmm. Those little narc ass kids. Those are the kids who called their mom on sleepovers. Like if it ain't broke, you stay, you tough it out. That's what you do. Not to be, you know, not to be the man guy. Cause I called my mom a lot growing up, but I know now I wouldn't, but Harley, I forgot about that story. I forgot you. Well, Harley, you used like 7 of your 9 lives in Missoula. You overstayed your Montana welcome.
I don't have a ton left.
You rode hard and put away wet. No wonder, dude, you're like an action hero. No wonder you're like a recluse in a remote town of Wisconsin.
He's Dexter.
Yeah.
Just living in a remote Alaska.
Well, Harley texted me. He's like, I bought a ticket to Missoula yesterday. And I, like, for a second, my heart just skipped a beat. I'm like, I don't think you should go back there.
They're probably looking for you, man.
One last ride, Harley says.
Oh, I'm clean. I'm clean in Montana.
Yeah. All right.
There's no APB for a van with 2 different colored doors on the back.
No, or a school bus.
You guys are really pushing the van serial killer pedophile angle tonight.
Someone's got to.
You were only pedophile on the Patreon. We didn't bring that into the public
eye. Do you remember my pedophile roast jokes?
That was one of the best roast jokes I've ever heard.
That was also great because we were for the context of the people. Was that at my bachelor party?
Yeah.
We wanted to do a roast of me at the bachelor party, and it never really like got traction. So a couple of us had a little bit of something, but Nate had legitimately like 5 minutes on everybody. And he just and he had roast jokes for Zach, who didn't even come outside. Zach was inside watching a movie, and Nate's like, Zach's pretty gay.
God, I wish I was there for that.
It was so funny to be like, Nate was like, we're doing the roast. I spent good time on these jokes. I'm doing them.
One of my favorite moments from that weekend was with Nate. And I was in the kitchen. I made this really, really fucking hot Thai chili wing sauce. And Nate comes in. His eyes are just blazed. And he waddles over to the salsa. And he like takes a big dip in that sauce. Takes a bite. And he goes, that sauce is terrible. I said, that's straight up hot sauce. He goes, it sucks.
I'm looking. I just pulled up my notes for the roasts, and I have one for Andre, who I don't was Andre was that, he was there, right?
Yeah, yeah, oh, yeah,
there. Yeah. His was just a one liner. It says Andre. More like Andre the Giant Midget. No, just Andre the Giant Midget.
Comma Midget. You gave Gillis a roast joke that he references all the time. You called him the skinniest fat guy you've ever seen. Dude, every time I see him, he's like, I have to get the gym. He goes, Nate really hurt me. I was like, yeah, that's a good roast joke. It points out something about you. You don't want to hear it. What a time.
Oh my god.
That was great.
Like, he is a skinny guy though. Like, he's way more fit than me.
But he's fat. But somehow he's a walking optical illusion. You see him from the side, he disappears. He doubles in size. Or whatever. Oh man, that's so funny. I have to get some roast jokes together. We're roasting Jack. He's leaving the comedy scene to go to Milwaukee, and we're trying to get ourselves I gotta get some roast jokes together because I'm Roastmaster General next week.
Is he done with comedy?
No, this movie, he's moving there for comedy. They have stage time every night of the week, multiple shows, better clubs. No one from the Valley. We've got all the things that make comedy fun.
No cash money, Carl.
We're on the regular episode. Stop that.
Oh, sorry.
God. How many grape sodas did he drink?
Guys, I do not want to have to go in the edit here.
You don't have to.
Yeah, but you wouldn't know about him if I didn't tell you about him. You didn't just find him.
No, I listened to the Sam Talent.
I don't think he did yet. Whatever, he'll find out someday. I don't give a shit anymore. I'm not editing this. Fuck that. Whatever. Oh shit. All right. So Matt Harley, we talked to you. Nate, what's going on, dude? What's up?
Oh, straight up, nothing much. Just chilling. My job blows. I gotta hate my job right now.
That is hating your job is such a dark cloud in your life where you're like nothing like. Even if the thing you do after work is a 10 out of 10 cool, it's an instant 7 because work sucks. Because you're not giving it your 10 out of 10 good energy. Does that make sense? I feel like that's
totally. It colors your whole day's experience.
Yeah, yeah. It's like putting on like a gray filter on your... Speaking of, I don't know why this triggered the memory. Harley, you need to talk about the limoncello, and you need to talk about it right the fuck now, because that's
in my wine shine. It's in my wine shine.
So gay. We just gotta have some stories, dude.
All right, fine. I got two shines. I can make
yeah, skip one and do it.
I'm not sure why a gray shitty job relates to this, but
I'll tell you why once it is, because it's a joke I wrote.
Okay. I accidentally drugged my grandma, you guys.
Do you guys know what limoncello is?
Yeah. So like it's like an after dinner shot. You get an Italian
super
joint.
Super potent lemon drink.
Yeah. So we made that for Christmas gifts. We made like little bottles and made like custom fun, like artsy labels, just as like a fun little side gift. And we packed some in our bag to bring to my grandma in Florida because we went there right after the holidays. Well, we left it with her. Didn't think anything of it for 2 months. And then I get a text from my grandma the other day. She's like, "What's this limoncello stuff? I've been putting it in my tea and I've been sleeping so good." Like, grandma, it's grain alcohol.
Putting a cup of it in her tea every night.
So I said, that was a fun experience.
I said, my joke, Harley, that triggered it is I was like, when we found out, we told her the truth, and shortly thereafter, our grandpa texted us and was like, "Why would you tell her the truth? I figured it out after week one." and then he's like, "Do you know what it's like to get head for the first time since the turn of the century?" Oh my God, it's like putting glasses on a colorblind kid. It's like this. Joke.
Yeah.
When they tear up and they cry.
Oh. What he hears for the first time.
Yeah. It's the little earbuds. Am I getting up before 4:45? No, I am not.
Why would you?
I work out on Tuesdays after, but that just Tuesdays? Doesn't matter. Yeah, so just Tuesday. Yeah, Tuesdays I get up early. Every other day I don't. Isn't that funny that Harley drugged our grandma? Also, that's thought great. Of you bringing grain alcohol you made at home on an airplane is so funny to me. It's like an old fashioned moonshiner. I don't know. I don't know about these things, Harley. You were the one who talked to me about fermentation and all that stuff.
I mean, I do have a still at the college. We did not brew moonshine with it, but we distilled essential oils.
Harley, now that's don't a fun way to get out. If you're thinking about leaving at all, you should do a moonshine run with the kids before you leave. Like, teach the kids a valuable North Wisconsin skill, which is making homemade moonshine.
We're doing wild rice mash.
Yeah. Get the boys good. Turn a couple of kids blind before you leave.
Wow, you guys sure have been making a lot of essential oils lately.
Yeah.
Yes, sir, Dean.
What essential oils?
What do you need 500 pounds of corn for to make essential oils? That's wild.
I don't know. We like the scent. We like the scent of corn, maize. Essential oils does sound like something like a dad would say as he like cracks a beer. Like, what are you having? It's essential oils. He's like clicking it, drinking it. This is the ones I like. I don't know. Well, all right, I'm kind of bombed. That's all right. I was on a hot streak. Had to come to an end. So all towers must fall. Can't have it all. Can't be an everyday thing. No, that's good. Why don't we do Wine or Shine? Why don't we do that?
It is time to wine or shine.
It's the segment upon the house of the ketchup was built on. It is the Wine or Shine. Harley, upon thinking about it, you probably could have just saved it for Shine, but I was just so excited to talk about it that I totally just like burnt some of your ammo right off the top.
That's fine. I got a couple of heaters.
Good, because I don't. No, I want to start my shine this week. Well, we shine on light on something we like, or we complain about something we don't. My shine is coming up with a new phrase. When you get a new like phrase or a new motto or a new mantra, like you know how everyone's got row the boats and all, like who's gonna row the boat? Who's gonna row your boat?
It's a dog eat dog world, and I'm wearing bacon pants.
Something like that, right? Like kind of a mantra. Well, Joe and I were talking about how hard life can get sometimes, and we referred back to the rat experiment about how like when they put two rats in a bucket of water. And they had them just like swimming and trying to stay alive. And they at the 15th hour gave a ramp to one of them and let the other one had to keep swimming. And the one without hope died like 10 minutes later. And the one who got on the ramp, they put him back in and he swam for like 5 days or something like that. I'm fucking it up. But basically the illusion of hope made the rat like keep swimming. It like gave him determination to keep swimming. He swam for like 4 days straight. So me and Joe have a new mantra where like, I am the rat that swims the longest. Like that's our new mantra. Like no one can fucking stop me. I am the rat that swims the longest. I'll just keep treading water. So I've been literally anytime something hard has happened in the last 3 days, I've just been like, I'm the rat that swims the longest, baby. No one can stop me.
I love that.
Longest swimming rat right here. You can't it's fucking like get just, me out of the game.
It's just grimy enough to like feel hard when you say it.
Arr, like I'll chew through a fucking wire. I'm the rat who swims the longest.
I am.
I'm the one who knocks. Yeah. So that's a fun. I just wanted to share this. So if you guys ever come up with a mantra, it's kind of fun to repeat that, you know, and just have that in the back of your head. And I think it's rare that they're applicable, that it would actually, you could just be like, no, that makes sense, right? Like, I'd be the guy who can, you know, go longest, which is not true.
Most of mine come off as like kind of gay and like motivational, less so than like, like a work hard mantra. They're more like, I don't even know how to phrase it, like fake inspirational or something.
Dad tried to pitch me one the other day that made no sense because he's like, here's a little philosophy for you. He said, your pocket full of excuses draws from your well of self-esteem. I said, Dad, that makes no sense. You don't put water from a well in your pocket. I'm like, that doesn't make sense.
He fucked that up. We cooked that up a little together.
So I said, the cup. I know you did. And this is why I was coming to you too. I said, the cup of your excuses fills from the well of your self-esteem. I'm like, that at least makes more sense. Correct. Liquid. Cause he was so mad that I was like, would you take a spoonful of water from a well and put it in your pocket? He's like, no. And he's like, well, whatever. He goes, thank you, Mr. Grammar. I was like, that's not a very feng shui of you, dick. Yeah, that was fun. That was a fun little argument I had with him. He drives me some of the worst philosophy ever. He dropped
one of those. Love a good semantic rabbit hole, though.
It's like three lines later, and you're like, what did you just say to me? He loves semantic nothing burgers that must have hit him when he was like 6 years deep. He's like, that's it. It's not a post-it note on his computer. What are you talking about, dude?
That's the one.
I love that guy. Getting a phone call from him, I'm like, that is podcast fodder. Like, I'll literally kick my leg up and have a pen out. I'm like, okay, that's what we're doing today, is it?
He was pretty fired up about Trans Day of Visibility being on Easter.
I'm sure he was. I'm sure he was. That dude's got some. That's the kind of thing. That's why he hasn't been on just yet. Is like, I'm cool with like the eclipse set us back on the right timeline. I don't need him being like. I don't need that. I don't need him saying some shit that we can't take back.
I saw it was like Trans Day of Visibility. I didn't realize people had so much trouble spotting them.
All right. See, now do you see? And now I'm going to get a text later. Please cut that. And guess what? I'm not gonna. This is an edit-free episode. It's a rare thing. It happens once every couple months when I don't want to do it anymore. No, so that's my thing is coming up with a nice turn of phrase. And we will have Craig back on here because he's I want to know what he's been doing. He's been tearing up the Planet Fitnesses pretty hard right now. Nice. He canceled his Y membership and now he goes to Planet Fitness. I want to know if that man's ever set off the lug alarm. Isn't that the one that has the lug alarm?
Just for doing triceps.
Yeah, I didn't know if that was real.
No, it's real. If you drop the weight and then someone will like, dude, some big guy will just shoulder walk his way to you where their shoulders move at the same pace as their legs. Excuse me, sir.
The whole D2 podcast will come over to you.
Stop. Brother. They're big on the lug, dude. They would. They are not on the lug alarm team.
Drag their knuckles over to where you're lifting. Oh, God. Somebody's baby.
They're just pulling needles.
Guys, I'm not editing this episode. Stop being. I'm not editing that. If you guys want to get beat up by a bunch of stronger dudes, be my guest. They'll spare me. They're gonna look at me and go,
"You're gonna run in a zigzag. Their shoulders and legs can't handle."
They're gonna look at me and go, "You're pathetic." they're gonna catch you three and kill you, and they're gonna see me sit there. They go, "Stand for something or fall for anything."
Sing good pathetic. Charlotte for us.
Sing yeah. good Charlotte.
I just want to live.
As they fall and their guns pointed sideways at me. They're making me run like a chicken across the gun range back and forth.
Sing. Yeah, they do carry weapons. That is a problem.
That reminds me. I want to go see that the little gun. I don't know why the gun's triggered. I want to go see that Civil War movie. You guys going to see that? The premise of it, I get it, Civil War, right? But I think the premise is California and Texas are together. I don't believe that would ever happen. Texas literally fucking hates California. I could see Texas, New Mexico, and then like Alabama, Florida. Like that, the racism belt line. Texarkana. Yeah, absolutely. And then it would be like California and the Northwest. I don't know, dude. It literally, if we ever got a civil war, it's going to be like.
The U.S. would balkanize. It wouldn't be 50-50. It'd correct. Be Texarkana, Cascadia, the Great Lakes.
Top left, Great Lakes. Because Bismarck, like the Dakotas, they ain't down with what the Northwest is cooking. And they're going to go, they're gonna try to align with the middle guy, the South guys. You know what I mean? So
it'll be middle America against the coasts.
I don't even think. I think Minnesota would be a lone blue, so they'd have to do some quick conquering. It'd be Minnesota, Illinois, Detroit, or Michigan, all blue, and then they would basically have to invade Wisconsin immediately to turn it blue. It'd be a quick invasion. Then we'd be unified Great Lakes.
Sorry, we're joining Canada.
It could be that too. Minnesota could easily get sucked up into the border. Yeah, hey, I don't know. Harley and I were talking about it, or no, Joe and I were talking about it. The UP is an interesting place because it was so red for so long, but legal weed has turned them purple. Mm-hmm. Like they're literally like the ones that used to be so violently racist that are just like, they're too stoned to care now. And I genuinely mean that. They're like literally, they're like, it's like if you gave a Viking mushrooms and they got like nice, you know what I mean? Like they're all like very, they're just accepting and they're like, yeah, whatever. As long as you don't do it in front of me, I don't care, brother. I'm like, what a progressive step forward from where we were, which was, I will go find it so I can be mad at it. All that to say, the Civil War movie looks great.
It does. I would like to go see it too.
Jesse Plemons wearing those red sunglasses. Jesse Plemons makes a mean villain. He's a great typecast, like psychopath.
Yeah,
him in Breaking Bad, he was gnarly in there as Todd. Dude,
do you ever see him in Game Night?
Yeah, he's a psychopath in there. Yeah. He killed a guy in Friday Night Lights, a teen show. He kills a guy with a bat. Well, now it was
psycho energy.
Yeah, that was the weirdest storyline. Here's my other shine is looking back at old shows for crazy plot lines. Think of all the shows we grew up on: Friday Night Lights, Seventh Heaven. All this stuff, dude. I went down a 40-minute YouTube rabbit hole of Seventh Heaven. Some of the plot points were fucking gnarly, like so insane. There's one where one of the kids stole a glass from a diner, and they had a full criminal trial about it. It's crazy. And then turns out like. So that whole show was crazy. And then turns out at the end of the show, the dad, the preacher guy, was actually a freaking pedophile in real at IRL. And now he's running from the public eye. Jeez. He's in Iowa. Oh, which is a real egg on the face of it, like an extremely Christian show to find out at the end your pastor diddler. Dad character was a horrific diddler.
Yeah, that is
egg on the face.
Who would have called that?
Who could have? Boy, I wish I would have seen this coming.
That didn't align with being a pastor. What did you say, pastor?
Priest? Yeah, he's right there. Yeah. So they had one where they find a homeless girl, like a little girl, like comes into their house all dirty, and all the kids are arguing about who gets to keep it. They won't even call it. They're like it, and they're like training her with food. And then the minute the dad like finds out who it is, he says her name, and suddenly she's like, "My name's Sarah. I've been like completely." I'll send the link to the video. It's well worth it because it triggered so many nostalgic memories. Reason
I never watched a single episode of Seventh Heaven.
I don't think I did.
I grew up in the Gilmore Girls. That was another one. Like, you know,
those kind of weird family soaps just by yourself.
I loved it, dude. I eat up a family soap. I'm a sucker. I'm a sucker for a good matriarch cast of kids and a dog. You throw it, dude. Inject that into my veins.
You got Full House brain, dude.
Absolutely, absolutely. I loved the way they would like solve conflict. I loved when there was a good teen episode. Like Brad wants me to send him bad pictures, and then the mom has like a little plot exposition, and it's just nice, you know. I was a sucker for all the teen coming of age shows, family sitcoms. Sorry I'm a little lame, guys.
No, yeah. Christina watches Gilmore Girls, and I definitely get caught into it. Like I'll be walking by, standing there with my arms on my hips, like I thought he was in a coma.
Yes. See, because after five seasons, they enter the point of they leave absurdity. They leave realist for absurdity land. They're like, we are out of ideas. Oh, at one point, Seventh Heaven, the one of the teenage boys, his grandpa like has dementia, and they go for a drive, and the grandpa convinces him to run from the cops. So there's a nationwide car chase because the grandpa said so. Like writers go, we have to kill somebody. Like someone has to die. We have to do something crazy. Like that's, I think. I want to create a YouTube channel that's purely the episode that burned the point of absurdity on all shows. It is the episode where you see like, oh, they lost it. Oh,
they cross over into Uncanny Valley.
Character died and came back to life. Uncanny Valley. Yeah. That's what it is. Like, oh, character, you know, like in Friday Night Lights. Oh, Jesse Plemons' high school character killed a rapist with a bat and then burned his car to get away from it rather than tell the cops. Like, it's, you know what I mean? It's not, it doesn't make any sense.
That's wild. And such a good YouTube channel.
Yeah, I'll do breakdowns on it and be like, because then it gives me an excuse to watch like four seasons of a show up until you go, oh, like Good Doctor. They had an earthquake one where a kid got like cut in half and he was alive for like three episodes talking. And the autistic, like, they did a mobile surgeon unit. And so it was the Good Doctor, who's like the autistic guy, is like climbing through earthquake rubble in LA, like trying to find. I don't think that would happen in real life, would it? Like they wouldn't bring the surgeon on site to cut a guy in half. So that's literally the last episodes Lucy and I watched were those ones. And then we're like, yeah, I don't know. It doesn't feel real anymore. I think we're done.
Yeah.
Where did what's the show I'm thinking about with the birds?
Young Sheldon.
No. You're thinking of Big Bang Theory.
Bateman.
Oh, Ozark?
Ozark. Where did that leave?
That was fine. That never actually, like, because that show was so absurd from the beginning. A guy, like, the fact that he didn't get killed in the first episode, they wouldn't have, I mean, that show was, that the whole premise of that show, of that, like, the first episode where he's lined, they're all lined up on the ground, and the cartel goes, fine, go make me my money. Bullshit. The cartel cleans their hands of everything. There's a reason they haven't gotten fully caught yet. They don't even open themselves up to that. But I will say,
if you start the show at Uncanny Valley, you don't have to worry about entering.
Correct. Yet they went they went deep in the Uncanny Valley in the last season where they're like, now the bad guy works for the CIA. You're like, shut up, dude. That's so lame. There's some points where that happens, but look for it on my YouTube video called Uncanny Valley. It's my new YouTube channel. It's where I dissect where TV shows jump from grounded in reality to absolute ludicrousy.
Ludocracy.
Feels good. All right, Matt, you're up. Wine or shine?
Let me just pull this up real quick. I'm gonna do a wine shine combo and then a wine.
So
a wine
shine
wine.
Well, one I'm not entirely sure. Yeah, yeah, wine number or five shine. Combo. We're gonna split it right down the middle.
Sure.
I'm gonna tell you what, guys. You know, after going on a real long trip, you know, we were gone for 9+ days. You kind of clear the fridge out, right? Like you purge it with anything that could go bad. So you come home and you basically have condiments and a handful of things in there. Well, I started a new job like during like that return. So we kind of delayed the fridge restock. We got a lasagna from my mom. We picked up some meals from David, who does like the kind of pre-made meals. Just flew by the seat of our pants until Saturday. We went out for a nice breakfast, and then I was like, damn, this is real now. Like, vacation is truly over. The fridge is restocked. So that's why I can't whine or shine about it, because one, it was great. We had food finally that wasn't just like like a rogue granola bar that I found. and then also it was like, oh shit, like now it's really back to reality. So
that is kind of a hybrid one, because when there is nothing better than looking in your fridge and you see like the rows of soldiers of like, we have eight of everything. That feels so good to know that you can have one and it's not even going to hurt the margins a little bit. Because when you're eating, when you're down to the stragglers, like last year's chewy granola bars, or like it's always like the bad flavor of everything is left. Like you can't say you have no food, but you have no good food. That's a tough time. And the realization that by restocking the fridge, you know that your time at home has now doubled. Like you will be home for the next 3 weeks without break.
Oh yeah. Yeah. So it was the realization, but I tell you what, it was worth it. It was a good time.
Oh yeah. Yeah. I don't know. I like that restock even if you don't go on vacation though. That first day post grocery shopping, you're a king. I'm having one of everything. I'm taking handfuls. I bought these little like snack sausages. I grab a little handful of them. I'm biting off things. Like I just, I take whole things of grapes and drip them into my mouth like an emperor. No one can stop me when I'm freshly grocery shopped.
Oh yeah.
That's like a haircut for your fridge. Even the fridge is kind of acting different. You know, it's got confidence. It's got a swagger to it.
New boots.
Like, dude, absolutely. You walk in, you're like, Ooh, look at you. You open it up. Oh my God. Where'd you get all this? Yeah.
I tell you what, this leads me into my next wine is that I did just that. I was like, you know what? Fuck it. I'm going to make myself a little smoothie. And I wasn't going to put in a bowl, chum. I grabbed out like a couple of variations of frozen fruit that we had. And then I threw in a couple ice cubes. And Anna's watching me. She's like, why'd you put ice in there? Like you have frozen fruit. And I'm like, I don't know. I want to make it. This is what I told her. I'm like, I want to make it a sorbet.
Yes. Yes.
I don't know what that means, but I already committed to the ice in there. So I had to go. Well, it was like kind of watered down smoothie. So it wasn't that good. So then I'm like, what's missing in here? So I'm like, yogurt. I don't know, some blueberries. So then I grab blueberries and she's like, that's not going to solve your problem. And I'm like, no, you know what? I'm already putting blueberries in it. I'm going to do it. Put in blueberries, didn't really do it. So then I found like ginger and I was like, fuck, like whatever, I guess I'll throw some ginger in there. And it was like better, but it wasn't great. And I was like, God damn it. And then I was like, fuck. And so I got through half of them. Like, this just isn't cutting it. We didn't really have anything else in our fridge. So I found a Nutri-Grain bar and I like chopped that sucker up in there and that made it worse.
And I was just like, Matt, what are you doing? Were you making a witch's brew?
It was just the fail. The art, the like, I should have thrown Frank in the towel.
Smoothie.
I didn't blend the new. I used it as like granola, but I was just like, I should have thrown it.
Nutri-Grain bars are disgusting
in the blender.
Nutri-Grain bars are meant for two things: the garbage and kids doing testing.
Matt, yeah. if you need a smoothie thickener, put in some oats. Put in some like rolled oats.
So yes, here's a little smoothie pro tip too. Beyond the yogurt and the milk, what makes a smoothie so good from the cafes when you buy it? Orange juice, a splash of orange juice rounds the fruit out and gives it that acidity, that pop a little bit, and that is what makes a smoothie. Because otherwise, it's too like if you're a vanilla that protein guy,
acid flavor that you need.
Yeah, you need that pop.
Yeah,
but that's it for real. A pro tip: my smoothie game here has been so much better because mine used to just taste like fruity vanilla mush almost, and then you add a little bit of that, and you're like, ooh, that's drinkable because it keeps you coming back.
Yeah, I think I need to adapt to both those models in my next unfailed smoothie. Yeah. I will say the little bit of ginger, like the ground ginger you just squeeze out of a tube, is pretty legit. But man, it just was like a watered down smoothie today.
We'll get you smoothie game up, dude. We're gonna get you. We'll get you. Harley, you want to handle that? Harley's the king of the. Harley's king of the fucking gut food. Harley's gonna have you shitting bricks. Harley's gonna have you so goddamn regular. You're not even gonna know what hit you.
He's helping me. He's my spiritual guide in our garden right now.
Beautiful. He's blessed all your plants like a shaman.
Gives him some seedling advice.
Yeah, they're growing like weeds.
Good, good, good. That's because he sold you actual weeds. Literally crabgrass. It's edible. No, beautiful. Matt, good wine or shines. Do you have anything else? Otherwise, we're going to Harley.
I could do one quickie if you want.
Why not? Nate loves the segment.
I got an advertisement for Temu's Off the Rails, and it was I'll share the picture with you guys, but it was an ad for a tent, and I know all of you have set one of these up, and it has never gone like this. Can you see it?
Oh yeah.
Oh my god. It is a pop-up tent with 12 people doing hanging on it with their legs curled so they're not on the ground.
So at least they didn't have like nooses on there.
Yeah. I mean, that helps, but
a tent so good, man. You can hang yourself in it.
Yeah.
And all your friends and family. Yeah.
You and your friends can commit mass suicide in our tent. It's so sturdy.
I know for a fact I've broken like 3 of those at beer festivals over my times because you're too drunk to put it away properly, and putting it in the bag in the first place is impossible. Dude. So I put like 12 beers on top of it, and then a couple guys trying to squeeze. Like, so there's no way that somebody could hang, one person, let alone 12, could hang from it. So
those kind of tents, comical. All they are pinched finger cities. They are little. It is literally, you're literally playing pinch finger roulette with 3 friends. Because when you have to all walk it in at the same time, if any of you picks up speed faster than the other one, just you hear that funk. Ah. Fuck! Just cover one corner. You literally have to be. It is a full unison.
I feel like that picture was they hired Nathan Fielder to market there.
Yeah. I'll text it to you guys. Yeah, maybe someone could put it on Instagram.
Yeah, I love it. I love it. Harley, why don't you give us a little wine or shine?
Well, I got a shine shine combo shine. wine. Sorry, I'm bringing the negativity today.
Fuck.
The first one's kind of a throwaway. I said I was going to bring the heat. In hindsight, this is not bringing the heat. That was the limoncello.
It's the damn weather.
Is the weather. No. You know what I fucking hate that should be outlawed is toenail clippers that are not convex. Toenail clippers that are straight across or bubble out, those got to go. That is instant hangnail and painful ingrown toenail. You guys know what I'm talking about? You need the ones with like the little give.
Like they're all curved, but they're all like inward, kind of.
Yeah, you want the inward curved. Have you ever seen them where they're straight?
Yeah, I've seen the flowers. I've seen the ones that look like Squidward eating the burger.
Yeah. There's like the worst.
People who use those do it in public.
Yeah, yeah. Well, I like toenail clippers. I'm big on taking the little the attachable sword that comes with it and digging those into the corners of my toes. The
attachable ice pick.
Dude, I get so deep
gouging out the corners.
Oh my god, I'm in there just excavating. That's last year's fur. Yeah, it's awesome. I love, dude. Excavating your big toenails is a treat.
True, true. Especially after like a hot shower, you can get deep.
Any maintenance, and this is just a little PSA, any maintenance you do to your body needs to be pre-shower. When you get out of your shower, you should be dried off into your clothes and you're complete. So if you got to wipe your fucking butt, if you got to shave, if you got to pluck an eyebrow, whatever, you go to the shower after that. You clean up the mess. You don't clip your toenails after a shower. That's not disgusting.
A little bit of the extra digging, like the second time around.
Gross. You want to clean it. You want to get it out and then clean it. Why would you, Harley, would you clean a wound and then pat? No, that doesn't.
You're telling me you've never wiped your butt after a shower?
Yeah.
Why?
Why would I? I've already wiped it, and then I went into the shower and I cleaned my butt even further.
Yeah, but then you do like the wipe to dry it. Sometimes there's a little extras.
Yeah, but how wet are you making your ass?
Not TP.
Yeah, towel it.
Well, also I don't mind
my asshole.
Asshole?
No. Because you use that, what do you, have a not if my towel's not labeled, I'd have to have one ass towel and the rest of my body towel.
My asshole is sparkling clean.
gross. No assholes ever sparkling clean. Dude, it's like a fire at McDonald's. You get it to service pool and you open back up shop the next day.
There's two types of people in this world. I just figured it out. There's wet assholes and dry assholes.
Here's the deal. As I come out of the I've wiped, I jumped in the shower. I am now hot, clean, and sparkly down there, but I'm not gonna stick my towel that I wipe my face and hair with on my bare asshole. I will instead sometimes I'll just have a nice new pair of undies and I go, it'll dry out. Like they'll absorb it. Cause it's getting clean water. It's the same
thing. Undies moisten up with your
individual butt. That's so insane. At the end of the shower, your face is just as clean as your butthole. And if it's not
true, I don't have it out of my eyes.
You are. Do not wash your ass.
I do wash my ass. I don't
get in there.
Nate.
Define in.
I gotta be careful not to go too far.
I get my whole forearm behind my body.
I will do two swipes from the rear, and then I'll go underneath the undercarriage for two swipes as well.
Those are rookie numbers. Bump that up to 15.
No, my swipes. I'm not like in and out. It's like I'm in. Then I'm putting a little more soap from the loofah and then I'm getting back in. And then same thing on the other side. It's more of like I'm in there for a little bit. I'm sliding under on the skateboard.
Yeah, your ass is just as clean as your face.
Wrong. I wouldn't do that. I would not clean the inside of my butt with my towel. It's disgusting. That's wrong. I can't believe you think I'm gross.
I have a white towel. I have never once had any single like knockout on wood for there. You.
Yeah, y'all are gonna. Matt goes. I've shit on a few towels. Matt goes.
Never shit on a towel. Never had pink eye from a towel.
Yeah, never.
I
had pink eye once, but not from a towel. Probably
knock on wood.
I just got back to Team Loofah, and that's been nice. I was fighting the stench.
Exfoliation.
Loofah under the armpits will fix whatever stench problem you got going on. Because I'm a three deodorant a day type guy, and I was still finding myself with a little stank on it. I've been Team Loofah. I smell like fucking baby.
We gotta get like a poll out there. Are you a wet asshole or a dry asshole?
Well, I don't know. It feels like no one's 50-50. But no one's gonna click wet asshole. Let's find a better way to describe that. Do you dry your bare wet ass with your towel or not?
With the same towel you dry your face with?
Yeah, yes.
Every day.
Dude, because you hang that thing up and let's say it falls and then your lady comes and picks it up and hangs it back up. Now your ass is on the top and your face is on the bottom and you don't remember, you know, like you don't have control.
It's all clean. It's all clean.
Mm-hmm. Yeah,
the floor is the dirtiest part of that whole equation.
Yeah. Okay. I would agree.
All right. Why don't we get off this? Harley, nice job, dickhead.
that was fruitful ground. My next whine is the ways that we whined about the latest girl trend, the Stanley Cups, right? There's a new one on the horizon. It's the Court of Thorn and Roses.
We already talked about it on Patreon. Boop, boop, boop. We already did it. Yeah, I talked about how I guessed that Sarah was reading it before she even told me, and how it's fairy smut and chicks dig smut. That's why when you logged on, we were talking about how we're gonna write a smut book from the Tuesday catch-up.
I'm sure the regular listeners know all about it then. We probably shouldn't talk about it here.
Yeah, well, why would we try it on treading on conversations? Good teaser for Patreon. You had a great shine, or you had a great wine. Walk it off on a win.
Yeah. What was your other wine? Having a wet ass.
Harley, what did you have to say about the ACOTAR though?
I came up with my own name for it because it's like fairy smut. I call it 50 Shades of Fae.
That's what it was. Yes. I like it. Sluts with wings.
That's all I got.
Yeah. No. I
wing slut.
Matt, that might be your next book. Is you have to read a one book of A Court of Thorn and Roses and report back how smutty it is. Do you guys think you could? And this is maybe gonna get caught, but do you guys think you could like J off from a book? Like you know, how, like that gets that mixed up. Like, do you think you could? Harley, quit vigorously nodding. Jesus Christ, bury the lead a little bit. That is all but conservative. You've heard it from your book. The only thing a book's ever done is make me want to go watch and then do. You know what I mean? Like it's never gotten me. I can't imagine holding a book in my left and jerking my peanuts with my right.
I'm not saying it would be the primo choice. I'm saying if desperate times called for desperate measures, could I? Yeah, definitely.
Yeah. If times were desperate, I've jerked off to much less.
100%. But my brain is basically a movie theater. I mean, I can clock up some fucking stuff in there, but a book, and I have to, because, like, you know, sometimes you see something you like, you might hit the back 20 seconds thing. On a book, I got to reread a page to fucking short. As if I'm not a fast reader, I might be flat soft by the time I get back to what got me in the first place. The boob, she's like, <"Ooh."
laughs> was mushy. Oh.
My dyslexic ass to the burb. What? I have to go back and reread it.
Oh, god boob. Damn it. Boob. That'd be like jerking up to an audiobook. That'd be wild to hear a British guy being like, hey, grab my supple tits. It's like fucking trying to bust one out to that.
I do a book before I do an audiobook, I think.
Yeah, 100%, because at least you're hearing your own voice. I can nut to the sound of my own voice. I would not nut to the sound of a narration.
Michael Caine narrating your J-ing off.
She blew me, Master Wayne. We should fat load of cum then, Master Wayne. All right. Oh, sorry. Next. Sorry. Oh, shut up. What? A guy can't have fun anymore? Anyways. All right. Nate, you're up. Water shine.
I'm going to shine. And the shine is going to be the friend who loves making cocktails and is a good host. Where you go to their house and say, what kind of cocktail do you want? Or you want a beer or a cocktail? You know, they'll make you whatever, and they've got everything. Like they love making cocktails. You tell them, I want a Gold Rush. Like, okay, let me get the lemon, and it's done. You know, it's everything. That's just classy. Fantastic.
Classy.
Signature cocktail people too, like, you know, like they'll text you and be like, hey, come over tonight, we're doing old fashions by the fire. You get there and they have a bar set up. Shout Tomato Boy Luke, they have a gnarly old fashioned bar. Same kind of feeling. I go over there, like, I'll bring my own beer sometimes, but I know if I go over there on like a Friday night, or like they'll be doing margaritas, or they'll have stuff inside, or they have a cocktail bar set up, like a little thing of ice or whatever, or you know, you can get an old fashioned that'll knock your socks off. I mean, dude, you're right, Nate, that is the consummate hosts. I love that kind of house. You walk in and you're like, why does it look like one of those wedding chalkboards? It's like, what are we having today? It's like old fashions. You're like, all right.
Yeah. Hey, he's got a little book that you can flip through.
Yes. Yes.
I'm showing my ignorance here. What's a Gold Rush?
Bourbon, honey, and lemon. And it's amazing.
Golly. Sounds fucking fantastic.
Yeah.
Yeah, that sounds what's a mint julep again? It's literally whiskey and like
mint. I'm gonna throw up.
Yeah, come on, Matt. Matt, can you tell me what's in a mint julep?
I don't know. I switched to mint juleps after about 14 Woodford Reserve like spritzers. There's a lot of mint in there, fresh mint.
I had one sip of a mint julep last year at the Kentucky Derby thing in Minneapolis, and Lucy and I were not in a drinking mood. Like, everyone was dressed in derby clothes. I was in a Carhartt and shorts, and Lucy was like, we were like, we just did not want to be out. It was raining, but all the drunks wanted to keep partying in the rain. I had one sip of mint julep and I was like, we're going home. That's what most of these people are having right now in their system. I was like, someone's gonna fucking punch a hole in a wall.
Yeah, it was rough.
That's always scary when you know everyone's drinking one cocktail and you not, and you have one sip of it. You're like, that's what's flowing through everyone's system right now. You're like,
diesel.
Holy shit. It's like you've watched poison infect a party, like watching an illness spread airborne. That's how I feel about like margaritas too, because they're such a mercurial drink. Like, so, like, it can be the most fun, but it's such a high octane. It's a tightrope. Everybody's kind of vibing out, but you know, one slip, one guy bumps another guy's shoulder a little too hard, and this whole thing becomes a little spicier.
Sugar, we're going down swinging.
Yeah,
that's right.
It's been a long time since I've had margaritas. They give me heartburn now that I'm 30.
I'm such a margarita boy. Me too. I love it. Oh, a little tahini on the rim. Oh
yeah. I had a little heartburn on stage on Thursday. It was pretty rough. We went to Mexican before, and I had the biggest margarita they could get. I got mango raspberry blended. I just knocked that down. It's like a 25-ounce margarita. Drunk. And then I ate a burrito that literally was bigger than my forearm. And then I got on stage for 45 minutes, and I would do a joke and then burp under my breath, come back, do the rest of the joke. I was like, I had one of those farts that, like, it wasn't a squirter, but like it was a pre-shock. It was like letting me know, like, if you try to fart again, you're gonna shit your pants. So I had to basically for the whole time, Lucy said my stomach looked like 1.5 times bigger than it usually does. Like throughout the performance, my belly was getting bigger and bigger and bigger. It's like my body was like doing its best to hold in all of that gas and combustion.
Dude, the water was at the levee, man.
Dude, I look like fucking Ralphie May when I'm doing comedy now. I just sweat. I'm just sweating off my nose and my eyes. Like, I don't know what's going on with me. I have a problem.
But I think I got to stop drinking beer when I like go out with people because I get so burpy. I think I just have to be like a cocktail guy now, which sucks because that's like if I can just drink some light beers all night and be fine. But once I start getting in cocktail territory, you never know what's going to happen.
Yeah, that's your margin for error. Two more, two less beers isn't too much of a difference. Two more cocktails, if poured wrong and the mixture of food in your belly's wrong, you might fight with your wife. the difference between going home and watching TV and the difference between going home and scrolling our phones silently in our room is it's a couple shots. That's it. Mm-hmm. It is crazy to think about, like, if you put visually like this amount of alcohol and you and your wife are having a great time, and if you just put this much more, you'll bring up something you shouldn't. It's a fun all thing.
You know, it's really pissing me off lately.
I've had the shot where I just think it's funny. That's what I call it. I think it's funny shot. I just think it's funny how, you know, you get to do that and I don't. You're like, oh, well, maybe if I wouldn't have had that, I could have kept my goddamn mouth shut.
Oh, chum, chum, chum.
Real big for my britches. Nate, what else you got?
I guess I'll just do a quick one. Man math. I was going over to my buddy's place, one who makes cocktails. We're going to watch the UFC fights. And I was like, all right, I'm going to Uber. I know we're going to be drinking at this guy's place. We're going to have a good time. Before the Uber got there, you know, I looked at it. It was like $40 to get an Uber over there. And I was like, fuck that. I'm driving. I just won't have that many drinks. And I'll stop drinking at a certain point. And I'll just gamble that money instead.
Nice.
It's free money. It was already spent.
Yeah, and so him and I were just sitting there gambling on the UFC fights. It was a lot of fun.
That is man math. It's money already spent. Don't worry about it.
It was gone anyways. I'll just drive, not drink as much, feel better the next day, and gamble.
Yeah.
I'll put it in my notes, but we're going to Arizona in 2 weeks. I won't miss the podcast for a bachelor party, and there's already a PowerPoint presentation on guaranteed money.
Sure there is.
I think I know who put that thing together.
You would be accurate.
I love man math because the minute you mentally withdraw it from the bank, it's yours to play with. It's not going back. It cannot be returned. It's like an ATM. You can't stick cash you got out back into the ATM. You have to spend it. That's basically how our brains work. The minute I go, I have $100 to spend tonight. Well, if I'm 60, if I take 60, I got 40 left. I go, well, I can get a double decker sandwich on the way home because I have money to spend. Like, you know what I mean? It's found money.
Yeah, it's $40 worth of scratchers.
Yeah, it's whatever. It's already spent. You already it's already been withdrawn from the account.
The definition of low risk, high reward. I already spent it, but I could make more. If you're gonna gamble it, like that's a good bet.
Yeah, it could be perfect. Oh, I love it. That's a great man math, baby. TM man math. Nate, can you hit the business idea music for me? Oh, I got one for us.
I have one for us too.
Oh my god.
I can save mine now.
All right, we come to the people with some ideas to make money. I am in. The Sharks are in session. Boys, what's the worst part of your friends sending you memes online?
Oh, there's too many to look at.
You gotta react to all of them. Otherwise,
I feel like all of them. Any other guess about what some of the worst parts of it?
If it's somebody who doesn't, who isn't on there, and they send you stuff you've already seen.
Bingo, Nate. Introducing a new feature called "They've already sent you this," or "They've already seen this," or something like that. It's where you're about to send a meme to somebody. Because I'm a habitual, like, I will check the group chat every 2 weeks, and then I start sending things that I'm finding funny. When you click on a reel and you go to send to the group chat, it will send you a flag that says they've already seen this or they've already sent this to you or whatever, so you don't have that issue anymore. I can't remember the exact machinations, but basically the idea is to stop the having to force myself to react to memes that people have sent me that I've already seen. Yeah. Oh, it's called "They've already seen this." So even if
I think it should be "I seen it."
I synced it, whatever it is. basically, no matter what, even if they sent it to you, whatever it is, if you try to send someone a meme or a reel that they've already seen, it'll just flag it and be like, they've already seen this. So that you don't have to, so you don't even send it. Because I'll think of something funny, I'll send it to Harley, and then he has to be forced to react to it because otherwise I feel, you know, slighted. Versus if I go to send him something funny, I see he's already seen it, I just won't. Or I will, if I really want to, if I want to like generate a discussion about it or say something funny with it, I'll still send it and be like, I know you saw this, but this is fucking hilarious. Mm-hmm. Or like, I can't get over this. But all the ones that are like, think of like all the, I've probably got 7 hours of throwaway memes that I had already seen that I had to see twice because I was clicking through. You know, I don't know. What do you guys think? Should I sell this to Instagram or not?
I love this idea. I don't want to send stuff people have already seen. And then you get an idea of other people's algorithms. You can kind of like use it for behind the scenes. Like, what kind of stuff are they getting popped up with?
Yeah. Because in other words, being stoked about a video and then sending it. And they're like, oh, I saw it. You're like, fuck, that wasn't a heater.
I will say, though, that I, in our LaBurly Boys meme group, I will throw videos that accidentally have been out there twice, but I don't get offended by it. I go, that's how good this video of Robert playing a trumpet in a
way. That's what I'm saying, though. Like, but you would get the flag and you go, I still want to resurface this one. Yeah. That's fine, right? Because I will consciously, because even the ones I know that are funny that I know I've sent anybody, I go, this is funny enough to resurface. I'll do it, you know? Yeah. But again, it's the throwaways. It's the pure content. Like, LaBurly Boys is a great example of how many memes can be sent in a chat in a day. It's like 75. Imagine if we could just clear out like 15 of those. Just now it's streamlined, you know, a little bit. Yeah. I don't know. They already collect all your data anyway. Why not make the user experience a little bit better and quit with this over meme sharing, over population?
Yeah.
Or you could also set it on your individual account that you can't be sent memes twice.
Well, you could set that you do it, but you can send it to, you would flag, like, you can opt in or out. You can opt in to be like, send everybody a flag that says I've seen this.
I like it.
Yeah. Yeah. So I have investors and customers are both around the table. Harley, sounds like you're in. Matt,
I'm an investor. I'm an investor of I seen it.
I seen it.
I'm in.
Yeah, I love it.
I knew you guys would be stoked. I don't remember what triggered it. Obviously, I think seeing a video twice this weekend triggered it. I'm not fucking stupid. I wasn't just driving. I was like, you know what? But yeah, okay, good. Look at me making business ideas work. I love it. I think we've reached, Nate, do you want to do yours? Or you want to save yours for next week?
No, we can do that next week.
All right, good. Because this was a nice tight hour for the people. Well, about a tight hour for the people.
Whatever. Yeah, we had a half hour for the Patreon beforehand and hour for the people.
Love it. All right, final thoughts around the table. Let's start with you, Matt.
Guys, my back is on fire. I changed a faucet yesterday. That's why I was late to Fortnite. And boy, oh, girl, one, me being under a sink, not fun in general, but you got to like arch your back and you got to get up there. I'm sore today, but God damn it is fun to laugh with you guys. Rate us 5 stars if you want. If you don't, you know, and if you want to send me something, I won't tell you that I seen it. It'll already say it.
You already know. Harley, final thoughts.
My final thoughts are, if you find yourself working out at a Planet Fitness, keep in mind, no grunting, no loud noises. Keep it between the lines. Don't drug your grandma. Instead, send her Franken smoothies from Matt's very own kitchen. This has been the Tuesday Catch-Up. Thanks for listening.
Nate, final thoughts.
What's up, shitheads? This is Nate from Nathan Nation, a.k.a. Nathan Dry-Ass Stubing. If you don't... Just asking for a recipe for a disaster, man. Your butt's probably getting mold and weird shit growing on. That's just a crazy psycho move. You got a dry ass. It's clean. You can do the. You can put it on your face. I don't give a shit. I'm totally fired up about this. You guys are pissing me off.
My final thoughts. You fill your pockets with the liquid of your own motivation from the well of your own self-esteem, or whatever my dad said. Think about that. Be the longest swimming rat in your life. Be the rat that swims the longest. Don't give up on anything. If you really want to like kind of sexually push yourself, jerk off to a book. Mm-hmm. Jork it to a book or an audio book. Come, Master Wine. Do it. And remember, at the bottom line, guys, I just want to live. Spend the Tuesday catch up. You're all caught up. 1, 2, 3. Bang. Patreon. Huzzah. You would know it. If you wanted to, I just want to live. Check the Patreon. Goodbye. All right.